Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience bears witness with me in the Holy Spirit that I have huge heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that I were accursed from Christ for the sake of my brothers according to the flesh, who are Israelites. So he's saying, I could wish that I were accursed for Christ and they were saved. So what he's saying is, I would be willing to give my eternal life for Israel. And that is, of course, in a way what Moses was willing to do when he says, take my name out of the book and let them enter in. But God doesn't work like that. He doesn't just substitute one person for another. And that's why I think Paul had learned that, and that's why he says, I could wish that I were accursed from Christ for the sake of my brothers. All the same, I think you see there an amazing level of love, because to be willing to give your place in the kingdom, to be willing to give up your eternal life for the sake of others, is really amazing. And Paul got there. It's a very, very high level. And that's why he says that I tell you I'm not lying. And the Holy Spirit, the power of God, testifies that I am telling the truth, that this is how I feel. So he talks about Israel and he says, to them, of course, belong the adoption as God's children, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, the fathers, he means Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, etc., are from them. They were all Israelites. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. May God be praised forever. Amen. So he's saying that Jesus was also an Israelite, which shows that Jesus really had our nature, because he was an Israelite. He was the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, which also requires that his mother Mary was an ordinary woman, and that he didn't exist before he was born. Paul goes on, it's not as if the word of God came to nothing with Israel, but they are not all Israel who are of Israel. That's an important principle, that because somebody claims to be of Israel, of the people of God, they claim to be a Christian, does not necessarily mean that they are, because they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Neither because they're the children of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac will your seed be called. So just being the children of Abraham is not enough, because Abraham had other children apart from Isaac, but they were not to be the chosen seed. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At the specific time, I will come and Sarah will have a son. So the idea was that the promise was going to continue through the child of Abraham and Sarah, who was Isaac. I think what Paul is saying is that being physically the seed of Abraham is no guarantee that you are the true seed. And not only so, but when Rebekah also had conceived by our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done good nor bad, that the purpose of God according to choosing and choice and calling might stand, not according to works, but of him who calls, it was said unto Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So then God chose these two people, and out of them he chose... Sorry, God chose one of these people out of the two of them. So this choice was not because one was better than the other, but it was a sign of God's grace that he calls. And it's the same with you and me. We were called not because we asked to be, but because of God's grace. Because that is how he shows his kindness, that he just called us. Often by bringing us into the right family who talk to us about the gospel or whatever. What should we say then? Is there some sort of unfairness or injustice with God? God forbid. He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it's not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise you up, that I might show in you my power, and that my name might be glorified throughout all the earth. So then, he has mercy on whoever he will, and on whom he will, he hardens their heart. You will then say to me, why does he still find fault with people? Because who can resist his will? No, O man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, that's the like the potter with the clay, why have you made me like this? Has not the potter power over the clay, so that from the same lump he can make one part a vessel to honour and another a dishonourable vessel? What if God, willing to show his wrath, put up with much patience the vessels that he had prepared for destruction, and so that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, the things that he made, the pots that he made, if you like, to show mercy upon, whom he afore prepared unto glory, even us who he has called, not only Jews but also Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So I think he's saying that, yeah, God has the power to work in human lives to bring one person to salvation and one person to destruction. And the fact that he has chosen us to be saved, I think indicates that, as I say, that there is this element of the hand of God forcing it through, but it's only an element. And that is the grace of God. It's all connected, you see, to Paul showing that God saves people by grace and not by works. And he's quoting Israel as the great example. And he's saying that there's a degree to which God simply calls one but not the other. And that is all to highlight his grace. And he says, Isaiah cries about the people of Israel, that even if the number of the children of Israel is as the sand of the sea, only a remnant, only a few of them will be saved. For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth, finishing it and cutting it short. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a seed, we had become as Sodom and been made like to Gomorrah. So the idea is that it is God who creates this remnant or this seed. There's this hand of God in it all, which is over and above our efforts. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not look and seek after righteousness have attained to righteousness, the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, who followed a law of righteousness, did not arrive at righteousness. Why? Because they didn't seek it by faith, but as it were by works. They stumbled at the stone of stumbling, even as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion, that's Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, and he who believes on him will not be put to shame. So then, he's quoting the example of Israel to show us that it is all by God's grace, and the fact that some are just called and some aren't, and some are, it seems, called even to be destroyed, and others are called to be saved. Whilst that, you know, it's not ultimately the case that, you know, it doesn't matter how you live because God's going to save you or destroy you, there is also this higher hand in our lives. And that's because otherwise salvation would be by our works and our strength. But there is this higher hand which is there, call it predestination or God's calling or the potter deciding to make you a pot to honour him, whatever. But that's there to humble you and to make you realise that it is not of your works but of his grace.